We want to pray together. There'll be a time in the prayer for you to raise a concern, a joy, and we'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, we give thanks that you are here, that you are not out there far away, but that you are as close to us as the beating of our hearts, the breath we take. We give thanks for Jesus who came to teach us of your nearness, to say you're among us and your way and your kingdom is within us and between us and for us. Oh Lord, we pray for those for whom life is tough, for those who face surgeries and treatments, and for those who struggle with addictions. We pray for those whose work is hard. And we pray for those who have no work. We pray for those whose family lives are chaotic just now. Lord, we pray for people across this creation who suffer unjustly, in places of oppression and violence. We pray for all who have been humiliated or demeaned, whose humanity has been belittled. We pray for those who struggle in poverty, not being able to do what they would do for themselves or for their children or for those who are dependent on them. And we pray for those who have so much that they're not even aware of others who hurt. Lord, by your presence and spirit, nudge us, prompt us, convict us, convert us, change us, open us, so that we might see more clearly and love you better and love one another. We lift before you those who need your care just now. Lord, for these we name in our hearts, and these we name with our lips. Help, heal, give comfort, give strength beyond the strength we have. And we're confident you do, and you will, because of Jesus, who taught us to pray and to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, if you should ever find yourself in Louisiana at a yard sale, you may be surprised what you might find. It would not be unlikely that you would come upon this contraption you weren't sure what it was. It's a 6-foot stepladder, and it's painted green, gold, and purple. And on the top, bolted to it, is this 3-sided wooden box. And the box has sort of a harness on it, a belt. And you might wonder, what in the world is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's a parade ladder. A parade ladder. Because if anybody's experts on having parades, it's people in Louisiana. Because you know, from Ash, from until Ash Wednesday, Mardi Gras, all the way back to January the 6th, it's parade time. It's carnival time. And in every little town, every little organization will do a parade. You may have seen the pictures of the big ones that happen on Canal Street with all the pificated young adults. You know what pificated is. That was my grandmother's word for inebriated. You've seen those. But if you've been there, you got friends there. Most of the parades, I mean, you know, the PTA puts them on, and there'll be a parade, a Mardi Gras parade in the nursing home. You know, and people on walkers and people in wheelchairs, either throwing beads or kitchen beads, you know. And some parts of the world, it's moon pies. But so you ask somebody in Louisiana how to do parade. They know how to do parades. They can tell you, you know. In New Orleans, I got friends. They know the parade schedule like some of you know the SEC football schedule. I mean, they just know this parade happens on this day and this is on this day. They know when you need to get there, where you need to stand, which parade has the best throws, the beads, the trinkets, whatever. They know. And so, if you take your kids, and there's a lot of people, they got to have a parade ladder. So what you do is you build a ladder. By the way, there's patterns all over Google for this. Check it out, parade ladder. You put a box up on top, you bolt it to it, you put your kids in it. There's little hooks on it for if they catch bees, they can hook it there. I've even seen kids with fishing nets, you know, so they can catch the stuff that comes. And there's the back of it. They know about parade. I have some friends, dear friends, that live in Louisiana, and they not only go to parades, they ride in them for floats. They plan them all year. And I'll say, I call them about November, December, how you doing? They say, we're doing good. But you know my Mardi Gras is about worn off. He's ready for the next one. It's family celebration most of the time. You go to them in the communities, and they'll be three or four generations out there. You know, so many parades are where we remember our culture. St. Patrick's Day parade, you know, it's about our culture, who we are. Or so many parades are about sacrifices of the past. Veterans Day parade, but nobility among us. And some days parades are about hope, homecoming parade before the football game, you know. So many parades, they're about our hopes, and they're about our victories, they're about our strengths, they're about, you know, what's important about ourselves. I think that was what was going on this parade on Palm Sunday in Jerusalem with Jesus. Jesus is the Grand Marshal, and he's there riding on the donkey into Jerusalem. And people lay their coats on the ground and they wave the palm branches. You know it's a Passover parade. Passover is the festival of freedom for Jews. I mean, it's similar to 4th of July. It's about freedom and liberty. It remembers how way back in the book of Exodus, it's described how God liberated the people of Israel from this Pharaoh, this tyrant, this oppressor. And God set them free. And so every year you have Passover. But this year when they were celebrating it with Jesus, Israel was not free. They've been Roman soldiers on every surrounding the temple when they came up to worship. But they sent an extra legion of soldiers during Passover. The Romans did. And they waved the palms. The palm branches are not just something they waved because they didn't have any pom-poms or shakers, no. There had been a parade 200 years before Jesus. And that was a parade that they held when they threw the Greeks who had conquered them out and established for 100 years the independence of the Jews. And they had their own guy on the throne for their own guys for 100 years. And that began with a great parade. If you have a Bible that has the Apocrypha, you can read about that in the book of Maccabees. On the 23rd day of the second month in the 171st year, this is 200 years before Jesus, the Jews entered Jerusalem with praise and palm branches, and with harps and cymbals and stringed instruments and with hymns and songs, because a great enemy had been crushed and removed from Israel. The palm branches were an ancient Jewish symbol of freedom. And so when they minted their coins 200 years from Jesus, after the, you know what they had on their coins? Jews couldn't put, a human image on it. Palm branches is what they put on their coins. It was a symbol of Jewish freedom. So, Jesus is coming into town and they're waving palm branches at Passover. And that donkey, that's not just sort of a, he sent somebody to the donkey rental place. He said, get me something to ride in on. They said, we got a donkey, we got a horse, we got a mule. No. It's Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Zion is Jerusalem. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble, riding on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey. Kings of Israel rode to their coronation, not on a big white horse, they rode on a donkey. So this is a freedom parade. This is a happy event. A couple of things are going on. They are remembering better days. They are remembering when they were free. And they were remembering when God had set them free before, when they had a homegrown leader, and they're using what happened in the past to generate hope for the future. And they're saying, God, you did it back then. Please do it again. Do it again. Set us free. So that's what that parade is about. That parade's about this desire to be set free. Of course, there's another parade that week. That parade was on Sunday. And there's a parade on Friday. A procession. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters. And they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they cast their lots among themselves. By crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Well, that's the second parade. It's not at all like that first parade on Sunday. You know, if that first parade on Sunday, the Palm Sunday, is a parade of freedom, about how God sets us free, this second parade on Friday is about how much we need to be set free. This parade is about how we live in a world that cries out to be free. The second procession is Jesus on his way to his crucifixion. He's probably carrying the crossbar of his cross. There was this grim efficiency about crucifixion. Timber was scarce. So usually they would permanently fix the upright out on the side of the road, and then they would just leave it in the ground. And the one, the thousands who were crucified would have to carry the crossbar, and then the bar would be lifted up and attached to the upright. So Jesus is probably carrying that. He's already been beaten. He's been tortured. His body is bloody. Pilate has ordered him paraded. I mean, Pilate could kill him anywhere. and they could get him there in many ways. But he orders him to be paraded through the streets because he wants to make a spectacle. He wants people to know this is what happens when you challenge Caesar. This is what happens to troublemakers. This is what happens to people who don't do what we say. Pilate wants people to see Jesus and take notice. But you know it's not really Jesus who's on parade. Jesus has already shown who he is. He's a good man. He heals people. He gives bread to hungry people. He preaches love of God and love of neighbor. That's what he preaches. That's his message boiled down. He even teaches love of enemy. Encouragement to the outcast. He teaches about the tenderness of God. He calls God Abba, Papa, Daddy. And he teaches about the nearness of that God. The kingdom is among you. The kingdom is in your midst. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, when somebody like that is tortured, it doesn't tell us anything about him. It tells us a lot, though, about the torturers. Jesus is not the most pitiful one on parade that day. It's the people who are putting on the parade who are shown to the world for what they are. And of course, this parade, this sorry parade, still goes on. It's called the Via Dolorosa, traditionally, Latin phrase, the way of sorrows, or the road of sorrows. If you go to Jerusalem, it's marked. And this Friday, there will be people there. Thousands walking through the streets, as there will be, thousands on this day waving palm branches just outside the city walls. But the parade on the Via Dolorosa still happens in this world. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It can happen any time when any religion, I mean, in this case, it happened to be a Jewish community, but it's happened again and again in Christian communities and in Muslim communities and in Hindu communities and probably communities where there's not a lot of religion. It happens whenever religion makes people fearful and fanatical and angry. And whenever religion makes people demonize those who are not of their religion and look down on them and despise them. Whenever that happens, when religious leaders think they have a monopoly on God and they think their violence against others is justified by God, that parade still happens. And that parade still happens when not just religious leaders, but political leaders, like Pontius Pilate, the governor. It was back then, but it happens now. Up to the present, it's about people in the history books, but it's about people as today that write blogs and send out tweets. It's whenever people are worried about staying in power more than bringing justice and goodness and freedom and a good life to their people, that parade goes on. And what this parade shows is human sin. How the strong pick on the weak, how people believe might makes right, and how otherwise good people. You know, chances are those people doing that weren't monsters. They probably love their children. But good people sometimes are put in positions that they will use violence and torture. They will let themselves be convinced that they're doing good when they're doing bad. And that parade continues. And anybody who looks at it can see the parade tells us how it is with us humans. What we fearful, frightened human beings will do to save our skin, to prove we're right, to lord it over others. That's our story. And the parade just puts it out there for everybody to see. But you know, there's something else on parade here. It's not what Pilate wanted them to see was this humiliated, defeated rabbi. But what we see when we look at Jesus is the infinite suffering of God. What is on parade here is how God joins himself in solidarity with people anywhere who are suffering, who have been beaten down in life, who have been betrayed, who have been tortured by all the ways we can be tortured. The Bible always says again and again, from Exodus all the way here, all the way through the end, God is there with the prisoner. You know, Jesus came into Jerusalem on a Sunday, and he's crucified on a Friday. Do you know what he did between? He told stories. And you know, he told one that's found in Matthew 25. It's a parable. And it's a parable about how some people connect with God and some don't. Some connect with the Lord and some don't. And what's the difference? It turns out the ones who connect with God, according to Matthew 25, are the ones who connected with God by connecting with other people who are suffering. Jesus says, it's when you did it to the least of these, when you clothed the naked, fed the hungry, welcomed the stranger, the migrant, nursed the sick, gave water to the thirsty, visited the prisoner. Jesus said, you do that to them, you're doing it to me, you're doing it to God. This parade shows us how it is with us in our tendency to sin and hurt others, but it also shows how it is with God. This God who is with us when we're hurting. And there's one more thing this story shows us. There's one more thing that this parade shows us. It's Simon. He only gets a few sentences. Simon. This is not Simon Peter, the number one disciple, the one who will become head of the church eventually. Not that Simon. This is Simon the Cyrene. Cyrene, that's Libya. That's the guy's an African. He's a Libyan. Same part of the world that's in our news today. Luke, I believe it is, says he's come in from the fields. He's an agricultural worker of some kind. He doesn't live there. I mean, he's from out of town, but apparently he's got a job there maybe. He comes in from the fields. And all of a sudden, just in an instant, the crossbar of Jesus is put on his shoulders. This Via Dolorosa shows us one more thing. If the Via Dolorosa shows us about human sin, and if it shows us about God's solidarity with us when we're hurting, it also shows us one other thing. The possibility of us standing with others when they're hurting. Simon goes from being a bystander to shouldering the cross. He shows us that when evil comes to others, we don't have to turn away or ignore it. Well, we have the option of shouldering someone else's burden. We have the option of standing with people when they can't stand for themselves or by themselves. We have the possibility of entering into the frightful, scary places that people have to go through to help them through it. You know, this parade traditionally has been called the Passion of Christ. The original meaning of the word passion from Latin is suffering. So it's the suffering of Christ. The Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ. It's about suffering. But you know, there's another word Christians use. Compassion. And what that means is to suffer with. That's what those two Latin roots mean. Compassion is suffering with. And so the story turns out to be not just about God suffering with us, but it comes to be the possibility of us suffering with others. I have preached and taught and always understood, you know, when Jesus, before he got to this point, he told people, I'm going to have a cross and you need to take up your cross and follow me. And I always taught and thought that what that meant was that when bad things come to me, suffering, unearned, undeserved, that I will take up my cross, I will embrace it, and I will get through the suffering with God. And that's true, I believe that. But it just dawned on me this last week. Jesus has said, now take up your cross and follow me. And who is the first one that does it? The very first one in the whole story. All four Gospels tell this, so I don't think it's accidental. The one who picks up the cross and carries it follows Jesus. He's not taking up his own cross in terms of suffering. His own cross is Jesus' cross. It's about the possibility of being people who share with others in their suffering. It's about compassion. And I get to see it all the time. This church, amazing. There are nurses here and medical people, technicians, receptionists in medical facilities, doctors. People who come in hurting. And there are so many of you in this room and others who are with them in their hurting. You have compassion. You suffer with and you make it better. There are people around here who have been through awful things. I mean, awful things with their family. Loss of their work. Tragedies. Divorces. Great disappointments. But I also see all kind of people around here who, those same people coming alongside other people who are having the same thing happen, and they say, I'll be here. I go to waiting rooms sometime in the hospital, and people are there waiting anxiously as somebody's having surgery. And so often when I go, some of you are there. You're sitting with people. You're having compassion. You're suffering with them. I've been at the youth group sometimes, and we have youth there who have been a newcomer, and what do? They invite somebody else to come and sit with them. We didn't plan that. That's not a dramatic effect, but they'll fix it. They'll be all right. We have people who come down with cancer, and somebody comes alongside them. I've been there. I can tell you how to get through it. We have people who've lost a spouse, and others come alongside them. We have people who, you know, their children have disappointed them, or their parents have disappointed them. You know, it happens all kind of ways. And people come alongside them and share with them. We have people who get a call late at night from somebody who's just about licked by their addiction. And the person who answers the phone has been there. And they go and they drink coffee all night with somebody, you know, helping them get through it. People who join the parade of sufferers point to the way of Christ, not just the way of suffering, but the way of suffering with, the way of compassion. Thanks be to God who is with us. And thanks be to others who have the Spirit of God in them and stand by us. Let us pray. Oh Lord, You who come near, You who show us the way, You who never leave us, You who bring others to us to share burdens, to encourage us, to cry with us, to hurt with us, to help us get through it, to help us discover again the freedom You meant for us, the newness of life, the joy of life. In Jesus' name, amen. So go into the world, go into this week with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, noticing God with you, God in you, God for you, God with you in your times and joys of strength and triumph, God with you in your days of suffering. Go in His power, go in His love, go in His grace. The one we love is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.